like Siobhan and I hadn't even been in the same room like since we were like 16.
We did hear that you hate the word reunion.
Yes. Why? Press back then were very brutal.
Oh yeah.
Welcome to On My Drink with Charlene and Ellie, our podcast, the group chat between your best friends, the girls Bratcham and a night out where you spill all the gossip and relationship dilemmas and life. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. And if you're new here,
welcome.
I feel like we're gonna have a lot of new people today.
Yes.
Listening.
Hello.
For certain special people that we have.
Yes.
Our guests. Home or Drink is out for you every Wednesday at 12 p.m. We also have bonus episodes every Monday at 12 called Home or Drink Extra Juice. You can listen to more of us now on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. We also have full video.
Full.
Today the set is looking a little bit different because it is a set. Well,
it's looking beautiful today.
It's looking
extra beautiful.
Cozy, comfy. These are our live show chairs right now that we're on. We're in a secret top secret location. We're not in the usual place.
They come out for special event.
And if you want to see what we're talking about, you can watch us on YouTube every Thursday at 12 for the full video episodes. This week, we are beyond excited. Yeah, my 10-year-old self playing SingStar.
Oh, she's screaming.
Singing round, yeah. Is screaming inside. We have probably one of the most
definitely
iconic girl groups.
The Sugar Babies.
I'm screaming. Like, I'm trying not to, but I am screaming. Wow.
My earliest memory is like playing SingStar and I used to sing round.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I used to be so bad. I could never get the exact points for the verse. It just
wouldn't click.
Yeah.
No, I was definitely in primary school and I remember I'd always try and be the leader to everyone else. Like, I'd always try to be the good dancer. 10-year-old me singing Freak Like Me. Ah, yeah.
Ah, that was so funny. I know. You never know. You never realise the lyrics. No.
You don't get it at all.
No.
Yeah, iconic. We love it.
Yeah. We were wondering, how did you first meet and form the group? And where did the name come from as well?
Oh my gosh.
Where to start?
Oh, yeah. Let's cast our minds.
Yeah. So Mutia and I grew up together. So we've known each other since we were like 8 years old. Aww. And I guess Mutia and Siobhan were recording in the studio. They kind of got introduced through like mutual friends and stuff when they were probably about 11, 12. And yeah. They were recording. Michelle. And
yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
And Mutia asked me one day to come with her to studio after school. I went there. We all met each other for the first time. And then someone said, oh, you know, heard that you guys sing together at school, asked me to sing something. I sang. And then we recorded a song together that day.
And that was
And
it.
Then that was pretty said, much it. But yeah.
Yeah.
It was literally an after school act. Yeah, it was like literally an after school activity.
Was it?
Like, yeah, going to studio after school recording. And then we just.
And I'd say even at that age, though, you never thought like years down the line it would be what it is now. Or did
no,
you?
No, I don't think you ever like, know. No.
Yeah, definitely not 12. Now.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it ends up then, when you think about it, it's like, it's your whole life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you think back to now, like, you look at 12-year-old or if some of that age, are you like, we were like babies looking back.
Kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I think it's also a good thing because I think you can kind of put it into perspective, especially because we've got like young nieces and like nephews and stuff, and it's just like, oh my God, these are children.
Yeah
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, and so it actually just makes you think like, oh my God, like imagine like having the confidence to be able to go out
to
there.
To do that, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
my son starting in 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
And yeah, sometimes I do say to my mum, like, what was that like? Because obviously.
For her.
You know, yeah. And she was just like, what, you wanted to sing? And, you know, I don't think our parents, because our parents aren't showbiz parents, so they were just like, well, they like to sing.
So but also, our parents had like, they had full-time jobs, but then they also, you know, were our guardians. So they would drive us to the studio every day until all hours and then go and do their shift work and stuff. And like, they made a lot of sacrifices for us to do what we wanted to do.
Yeah. So someone always had to be there with you the whole time at that age. Yeah. Was it that age that like labels started coming and things, or you had your label straight away?
I think we were signed at 13, 14.
Like that, when you think of that now, like that's so young.
Very young.
Isn't it?
It is. No.
But like amazing as well on the other hand, isn't it? God, that they said 13, like, yeah.
We'll I know. It's nice because they believed in us at such a young age. But I mean, yeah, well, we're here now.
That was so London Records. Amazing. I really liked that. They were, you know, they had... you know, an amazing vision for us and really let us have our creative freedom. So that was a really nice experience with a label.
And was it like daunting to be in a room with like such Rome older people?
Yeah.
It's so funny because when I look at certain pictures, I'm like, oh my God, it's like, are they even still alive? They're really old.
I feel like it was I just always remember thinking, like, what was the big deal? I remember them making such a fuss over the fact that we weren't polished. Yeah. You know, a lot of the bands, pop bands at the time, they like were way more polished than us, and we were kind of a bit like more scruffy and a bit more sort of like not media
trained. Just not media trained.
Real.
Yeah. And so I remember that being made a big deal, and the fact that we didn't smile. Well, we did smile, but we didn't smile in pictures.
Okay.
I remember that being like very cool or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, we're just doing what we all do with our mates and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think we ever wanted to be like famous. I don't think we ever looked at it in that way. But we just really enjoyed like that.
Yeah, you were doing something you loved.
Yeah.
Like, it just came easy to you. Wow. And who's taking the credit for the name Sugar Babes?
So our first manager used to call us Sugar Babies.
But that was taken
by Bjork.
I'm
pretty sure,
And I think there was a choir in America called Sugar Babies.
I think it was all kinds we would have gone for it anyway because the moment he was like, my little Sugar Babies, and he'd be saying that, we were like, not in front of our friends, we won't.
Yeah.
Be like, cool. So we were like, no, we want Babes if it's going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go with that name.
Because I think we obviously knew at some point we're going to grow into women.
Of course.
So, you know, having the word Sugar Babies could possibly just be
It has to be a name that kind of terrifying follow you through your life though as well,
like I made peace with it because I think when you think of other band names, some of them are just ridiculous, but you just don't think about that. Even like the Rolling Stones, like
who came up
it's amazing, but like what does it mean?
A load of Rolling Stones. I don't know. Where does it come from?
I was listening to an interview with that Keisha, I think it was, had you done on radio, and you were saying that at one point you were getting like 2.5 hours of sleep at night. Your schedules were that jam-packed. Like, what was that time like for you? Because especially at that age, or was that a little bit later on then?
Yeah, well, it became the norm, really, because we didn't know any different. And we would just be given our schedule for the year. And I remember we would have Christmas Day off, like Boxing Day.
Like 1 or 2 days.
I think it was a lot easier with the lineup with Siobhan because we could hide behind age, because I think then we could only work like...
72 hours?
72 days.
72 days.
It was something like that. We couldn't work like
we never actually did that.
No.
Because we used to do like breakfast TV at 6 a.m. and then we would be playing like GAY at 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
but still, we couldn't.
Yeah,
there was a lot of secret things going on. Obviously, there was no social media there.
Yeah.
But I think it really took on like a whole life of its own. Like, you know, between the ages of like 17 upwards, it just became this huge storm. And obviously, the brand was getting bigger and bigger. And yeah, it was a lot. And we didn't know that we had much of a say as such, because I think they allowed us to just continue being creative, and so we didn't realize actually you can say need a second,
need a cool down time.
It was like, brutal, which is why we're kind of enjoying it now, because we have you know, we're independent, and it's just nice to be able to look at our schedule and be asked like, girls, do you want to do this or don't you?
That's nice. To have a choice no matter as well is nice as well.
So you just have like full control of like everything you do.
So we wanted to be here today.
We're letting you know they're not forced to be here. Okay.
What would you say then is like a highlight of your careers? It's been like such an amazing, iconic time. What's like the best thing that stands out to you?
We've had a couple of like amazing Glastonbury moments in the last couple of years. Like we played the Avalon stage, and it wasn't until like moments before we took to stage that we were getting taught like the signs for if people are in like distress, because there's so many people in there, they've had to shut down not just like the tent or the field, but like the entire area. They had to cordon the whole lot thing off, bring all extra security in, and we were like, for who?
Literally.
And then it happened 2 years later. Like my niece, you know, your niece, Mutia's daughter went out, and they were like, this is like half an hour before. They were like, there's no one out
there.
There
was like,
we were like, oh no.
Typical teenagers, like, we took a picture of this auntie. No one's there.
Oh, 20 minutes later, it was one in, one out, and then it was shut down.
I mean,
that's amazing.
I would say one of, like, for me, the biggest highlight was getting our name back, because many people don't know that we first came back like over 10 years ago under the name MKS.
Yes.
And it was a real struggle for us for a long time. We, you know, we were signed by a major off bat as soon as they heard we got back together. And then, you know, we were thankfully let go by them because we didn't want to be there anyway.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it was really hard. And then having to, you know, fight for the name that we actually came up with and having all these obstacles that people go through in the industry, we had to really have a lot of patience. And, you know, it's been so rewarding to obviously be embraced in this way. This is basically the reason why we got back together. Mm-hmm. So that we could actually enjoy it and also just like kind of rewrite history in a way, because I feel like this was like our baby as such. And then people just came in over the years, like, you know, adults, and just made it something different. Mm-hmm. So it's been so rewarding to have, like, you know, the support that we've had from everyone and our fans. And
and some people, you know, they try that hard and it does feel like you're climbing a mountain and it doesn't get to this point. You know, because the industry is that hard. So I think that we are just so grateful that we were able to get the name back and like really smash it over the past 3-4 years. And it's not lost on us that's
nice that you were able to get the name back.
Yeah.
Do it all over again. We did hear that you hate the word reunion.
Why?
Why do you hate it?
I think it feels like the end of everything new.
Okay,
whereas we're constantly putting new stuff into the set, reimagining the songs. We've got an incredible MD musical director that we work with who's also the MD for Stormzy. You know, we've got a whole new album that we will be releasing now after the first single, Jungle. And so I think reunion maybe means not doing those things.
I think that's perfect explanation.
That's a nice way of putting it. I like that.
How has the music industry changed since when you first started? Like now with like social media being such a big thing, like when you promote your songs, like is it so different now to how you used to do it?
Yeah, I think it's, I personally think it's very different. Mm. I mean, I'm kind of happy that we didn't have all of the Instagrams and the Facebooks and all that back then. I think you had to inspire people
to buy
to
physically buy.
HMV, everyone would go there and they'd be like queuing up, listening.
For CDs and listening. But I think for anyone who's at like a certain age now, you can kind of be thankful that at one point in your childhood, we didn't have any of that. And it was nice to actually be able to be out and like be a child or be a teenager without all that.
And bring your actual camera to. Like,
yeah, how fun
was
that?
Well, now it's that the cameras are actually back in. And everyone thinks it's a new thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got about 5 of them in my house.
Literally, I got mine on eBay and the price. And I was like, I should have kept my old one. They're all gone.
There are some perks though.
Yeah.
I know, I was going to say there's lots of positives.
There is.
There is, like, I feel like back then you had to be signed, otherwise it was like career suicide.
Was it?
But like now, because if you didn't have a label, like what were you going to do?
Independent
and it was like,
wasn't a thing.
And you had to be like top 5, like at least. But like now it's just like you can just churn out all your hits. You can be in the studio and be like, I feel like putting out a song.
Yeah.
And you can actually be
just
your own boss.
Just have control. You just got more control.
And
over
the way
it.
People consume music now, you know, like talk to my 16-year-old niece, like she was trying to introduce me to the Cocteau Twins, like it was a new band, and I was like, no, like Liz Fraser's one of my favourite singers ever, and I'm pretty sure she's in her 60s and it's not new. But I love that, you know, she doesn't know what decade things are from. She's just finding all like best music from history. And I'm like, instead of just being forced, like, you know, the same 5 songs every week or whatever. So I think it's really exciting.
It really is like at our fingertips now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's good for anyone. But being so young and being in the spotlight, did you ever wish you had a normal life growing up?
Oh my God, I always used to think, what would I have done if I wasn't singing? To be honest, I feel like it's hard to even imagine that now because we have all grown up in the industry.
It's hard for me to say that because I stepped away and had a completely different career. I was a model booker for 10 years and I loved it. I loved the camaraderie around the table. I loved looking after all the new faces that came in because it reminded me of travelling when I was so young with the ladies.
And you went back to school as well, Shiv, as well.
I know, lucky. Our school wouldn't take us.
Because we left.
only for my exams for like a week.
But we had like private tuition, all of us together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when
we were homeschooled.
Yeah, and then afterwards, like Siobhan's school was so kind and was like, yeah, you know, you can come back. Ours was like,
no, sorry.
No, your spaces have been taken.
Yeah.
You think that they want to bring you back?
Oh, no, they didn't.
That was really mean.
Yeah,
that was horrible because really we actually wanted to go back to go and finish off.
Aww.
My school let me come back and sit my exams, so that was nice.
Wow. Yeah. So we're going back then, singing everyone.
I tell you what was weird. I'd been taught for the wrong board. So I had to just kind of just throw myself in and didn't know what I was doing. But
God.
It's okay. I still passed.
Yeah.
What's it called? Is it SATs? That you used to?
GCSEs.
Ours are completely different. Whenever anyone talks about it, I'm like, what?
I get so confused.
So obviously not having that normal life, I suppose, was so different for you. So like, what does your day-to-day life look like at like age 15, say, or like 16, when everyone else is in school?
I think it was really hard because very quickly, I guess we learned that we didn't have much in common with our peers. Mm-hmm. I remember that shift, and I personally struggled with it quite a lot, just because I felt like I was still like a kid. So it's almost like then you're taking out of that environment, you're brought into like a new environment with adults. And in my mind, I was still doing childlike things when I went back to my friends, and they were like, oh, so we did this now. And I was like, what? And I was like, but what about the kiss? And they were like, kiss, girl, we've moved on from the kiss.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I was like, what? So it kind of like kept you a little bit like later. But also, I think it was really difficult because I remember going out and just going to like the movies and things like that. And then, you know, sometimes the other teenagers weren't very kind. And also as well, depending on sort of like what, because the press back then were very brutal.
Oh, yeah.
So depending on sort of like what the press would say about you or how they felt about you, then you would then go out, you could be by yourself or you'd be surrounded by teenagers. And it was really difficult because then you're, you know, people wanted to see like, you know, are you that tough? And then they, you know, so there was a lot of incidents where it was kind of hard, and then you didn't feel like, I felt quite lonely actually.
Of course,
We didn't change, but the people around you did.
Overnight. Saw you in different lights, kind of, or like,
Can't relate to you anymore.
It's almost like you're not a person. It's like you're either up there and it's amazing, so they just like, you know, can't have just like a regular chat with you, or it's like, who do you think you are? And it's like one or the other, and you're like, oh no, I just want to like do small talk, you know, like
you want to be able to do all the
coke, like, you know.
So it was the people around you that changed towards you, is really.
Yeah, but do you know what? It filters people out really quickly. You learn, like, you know, to gravitate towards your tribe, and you find your people and you hang on to them for dear life.
Yeah. And my mum gave me the best advice, because I remember one time I was like super down, super crying my eyes out, and my mum said, you have got to learn to enjoy your own company.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And that was a game changer for me. And she just explained to me that if you look, because you're with yourself for the rest of your life, like
in your own brain,
you know, you've got to learn to be able to enjoy your company. And from that moment there, I still take myself on dates. I will go and I will have like, you know, I'll go cinema by myself. This is not an everyday thing, by the way. Occasionally. And I actually enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah.
And I give that advice to like so many people. Like whenever I
get alone time in my head.
I love being like, enjoy your own company.
It's nice to treat
I love that advice. It's really nice.
Yeah, that is nice. And girl groups, I think anyway, and maybe you think, back in the day, were definitely more common than now. Do you think there's a reason for that now? Or
There's not.
I think that they're seen as being, by labels, I don't know if you'd say the same, as being really expensive.
Oh.
And that, and I think that that is maybe a barrier. I also think that there's not an awful lot of artist development that I see going on at the moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so crazy about this industry? Because all it does, it takes one. Because the moment someone gets like a number one smash hit, you'll see about 50 labels lining up with 100 girl bands to basically do the same thing. And so, artist development definitely is lacking majorly. And definitely the expense thing. Because with girls, you know, it's hair and makeup.
I never thought of that.
I would have never thought of that either. Yeah.
And it's multiple people. True. It's not just one.
Yeah.
But even boy bands, I feel like kids these days don't really look
bad now.
They need their hair and makeup too.
But I think we're pretty lo-fi, actually. Like when you hear of other scenarios and stuff, I think we're pretty low maintenance, actually.
Would you do your own glam or hair and things ever?
Sometimes.
But you're really so good at it now. You don't need
if it's needed. We
definitely, I mean, just because of the time now that it the amount of things that are in our schedule, we do have like two hairstylists, and occasionally we might, like for Jungle, for example, we had, when we were doing the shoot, we had to have
two makeup artists
and stuff, because it's like a time thing.
Yeah. But then on the flip side, we'll be at a festival and we're all there like steaming our own clothes before we go on.
Yeah. It can be one way or
another. It's quite nice just to do your own thing and not be strapped. People fussing, you know,
just do it.
Yeah. Too many hands touching as well can be annoying.
Yeah. It's a bit overstimulated.
Mm.
How do you think you've changed as artists as time's gone on, like through the years, like with your sound, with like music genres that you like or want to dip into, like has that evolved as you've gotten?
I feel like not an awful lot has changed. No. I think what has changed is our confidence levels. Yeah. And when you have like real synergy with who you're working with, for example, like John Shave, the producer we did Jungle with, and we've done a lot of the new album with him actually. And he's most famous for like most recently doing like a lot of the Charlie XCX Brat album. I think that when you have that synergy, like the minute we met him and worked with him, he just got it. Mm-hmm. He loved all our, you know, like opinions in the room, because he's just like, it's just creativity that we're throwing around. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes you go into settings and people just don't want that.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, that's really a vibe killer.
Yeah, actually.
So again, it's just about finding your people and like, you know, the synergy, getting that right with someone and then stick with them.
Would there be a peak thing in your head, like a top note that comes into your head if you had like younger yous sitting in front of you? So the three yous at 12 or 13 sitting in front of you, is there one little piece of advice that you'd tell the three of you?
I always say just enjoy, because I think now that we're a little bit more grown, a little bit older, I'm enjoying myself.
Are you?
Yeah, and I think back then I felt like I was being very serious, not too serious, but I kind of just went to work and just, and didn't acknowledge when we had number ones, when we were touring, when we were traveling different parts of the world. So now I'm like, oh, I'm excited. Yeah.
Taking it in.
More. Absolutely.
That's fine.
I love that. What was your most challenging time in your journey as a group, and how did you just overcome it?
I mean, which time do we want to talk about?
No, exactly.
I think when you're talking about a career over such a long time, I think it's natural that there's been like changes and
challenging, like for us three, I would say, I feel like it was the MKS days.
That was hard.
Mm. That was so, so hard, because we didn't have the infrastructure around us, and we didn't have the support of the industry at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have the name.
Yeah.
And we were trying to book shows. And even though
People didn't want us unless we had the name, and even though we were doing
sellout, we had a sellout tour. And there was a lot of like things that we were, every time someone would throw a challenge at us, we'd be like, right, well, here's lay down in swimming pools, here's flatline. We would really be trying to raise the bar. But that is really difficult when you've just come back together again.
Yeah.
Like Siobhan and I hadn't even been in the same room like since we were like 16. And I'd just come out of the other lineup really a year and a half before then.
Yeah.
So I think that that was really, really hard. But I'm super proud of us, because I actually think that those are the times that actually matter. Not when everything's going perfect, but actually when you're going through things, like how can you guys stick together?
It went in circles though. Do you remember? It'd be like, there'd always be someone, like one of us that was like, I'm not sure if I can do this anymore. It's too hard. Like there are just too many obstacles in the way. Like they're just, you know, and I still think, you know, the Lost Tapes is what we ended up calling that record, because it leaked at the time and we released it only about 4 years ago, because we were like, that was such a great body of work. Like we really stand by it, and it was so proud of it. And we're like, God, how with that body of work was it that hard? It just blows our minds. But yeah, as Keisha said, like we just had to
pulled through.
I had to just keep going.
Had to just keep going with it.
And it's great that like now, the thing is, when you go through those rough times, it's all about like the cherry on top.
Yeah.
And I think it was all worth it to bring us to sort of like where we are today. And I'm glad that we didn't throw in the towel, because we
Can you imagine if that was the end of the story?
Did you ever feel like there was times where you could have said...
Oh yeah, we all did. All of us had to, and then the other two would be like, "No, we've got this.
Yeah.
This will be, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. This is the darkest moment." And we, you know, go around circles telling each other that every time someone needed to hear it. And
Alicia had each other to be able to tell each other that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, and do you like have a way now to like that you know how each three of you work and to read you out because even most we're friends we work together so like do you like know each other's
brains.
Like brains and you know when someone needs something and like just you work together really well.
I feel like we definitely work together very well. I think that it's ever because we're all very different. I think we've all had different experiences.
Yes.
So to be honest, we're constantly learning. We're constantly figuring out based upon our personal lives and what we go through, our own individual boundaries and things like that.
Yeah.
But it definitely is an honest and pure relationship that we have with each other. And it's more just like with any relationships, it's like give and take. And I think we all know like when someone needs a second, you know, when someone needs some time or...
Sometimes we're living on a bus together as well. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like we're flatmates as well.
You know, but gone are the days of like pretending, you know, when they put the girl bands together and it's like... We're happy all the time.
And that was
and we get along. And we get along all the time. I mean,
and it's doing the young ones a disservice. Like, you know, sometimes tired. It's, you know.
It's just about having having respect for each other and having boundaries and and just knowing that, if someone needs their time to
you know.
And you're allowed to.
Of course. And life happens, you know, everyone goes through different things, family things, blah, blah, blah. Like life happens and it's all about navigating that. But I do think that we've done that exceptionally well because I just don't think this would have been able to last as long as
otherwise.
I think we definitely have a great deal of patience with each other for sure. And we're just learning each other every day, like in any relationship. You know, you're like, you know, with your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your boyfriend, like whoever it's always
talking on like the girl band front. I mean, I don't know what people were expecting when we were turning up to these indie festivals like from 3 years ago, but like we're like always on time, like don't really need very much. Like we'll just be ready. Like we'll put our own inners in and we'll be like, yeah, you ready to go inside the stage? And so I think, you know, we've earned a reputation for ourselves, you know, behind the scenes as well as just like being a professional outfit that will bring it every single time.
Okay, you better toot your own horn over
here. Horn over here. We always give it 100%. No, you're going to get that from us.
You're doing All Together now in Ireland.
That's great.
And living on a bus, what's that like? Are you like doing, like, I can't imagine what it's like inside.
I love it.
Is there like a kitchen and everything? Like,
Kitchen, living room.
Is it
like one of them big American, like, RV, like, looking things?
Is that, I think they've probably done bigger and better in the States.
But it is lovely.
It's really nice.
16 beds. Some of them have like 16 beds. So
You get rocked to sleep at night in your bunk.
You
get Wi-Fi, your Netflix, all of that kind of stuff, you know.
And how long of a time period could you have been on a bus for?
Well, we're about to do about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Is it? Wow. But like that, you know, often they've been like, do you want day rooms? Do you want to, you know, get off at the bus at 4 a.m. and check into a hotel? And we're like, well, not really.
Just leave me in the bed. The bed's comfortable anyway.
And the coffee's good in
and
the morning.
And the coffee's great.
Is it?
And I think we're so used to like, you know, having fun nights at times.
And everything
we have drinks.
Is very clean. We're doing a face mask and LED.
Well, there's no really complaining.
Lots of wine and Prosecco.
Literally. And like there's bathrooms, showers and everything.
There's no showers.
No.
There's showers.
Yeah, that's the
day room.
So, so what we do is like I guess we come off the bus in the morning. We'll go to either a day room or we go to the venue. We'll have all our showers and stuff there. And then we go on stage. We come off, exact same thing. Shower, put your jammies on, back on the bus. Gets the routine.
That doesn't sound too bad.
It really isn't. It really isn't.
You don't have to drag your bags off and on.
And then we bring our family on as well sometimes.
How is it like at leaving your family when you're touring and doing concerts?
That's a hard one.
Because you're and you're FaceTiming all the time, kind of keeping contact that way. You're like, it's hard probably as well.
Even that's hard for me with the age of my kids at the moment.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when it's festival season, it's like I'm there 80% of the time. You know, I'm basically like working part-time. So it works really well. I'm there during the week. My husband's there at the weekends when I'm off working. It's amazing. But like a tour like what we're about to do will be
quite
tough.
Intense.
Yeah, it'll be tough. Yeah. Because they're only 4 and 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we miss each other. But
And how do they react to having like famous mothers?
I always think
what do they say? Like, how do you explain that you're trying?
I'm really famous.
What do you...
Well, they love coming to the shows.
Okay.
Well, Vivian's four, and she's like, I'm not sure I want to come to the London show. She says, because I always fall asleep during the show.
That's so funny.
Oh, bless her.
Oh, wow.
Ford is seven, and he's like,
he loves it.
He loves it. He sings along. He wants a T-shirt. Oh. Yeah, he just loves it.
Isn't that so nice?
It's really cute. Oh. And imagine in school just telling everyone.
I know. Mums and the sugar babes.
Has there been, obviously, so much of your personal time is taken up with being in the band, sorry, your professional time, but has there been a time where you've had to choose a personal moment over, like, professional and just been like, I have to do that instead? Like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I did that when I had my daughter at one point, when I had Tylea. Aww. So it was hard because it was like at the peak of Sugar Babes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a lot going on.
And before we launched, my dad died before we just came back again.
So you've got to take
that
time
was,
out.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel okay to ever just be like, I need my time off now more?
Well, I think we all understand each other. Yeah. Like, if we've all got something that's going on,
we hate
family,
letting each other down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But if it's something that's really like that.
It's a conversation.
Yeah, they have to.
But sometimes I feel like being on the road actually is almost like it really helps balance out. Because I often think to myself, had I gone through like a lot of my grief and I didn't have the up moments, then you're just feeling down, down, down.
Okay.
But actually, when you're on stage, it gives you this endorphin, like this feeling, this rush. And I think that, you know, that sort of was quite helpful for me. But
And do you still get that same like rush being on stage?
Oh, yeah.
Still, it never goes away.
Yeah.
Are you ever nervous?
I'm always. I always think there's no one out there.
Really?
Like, the first thing I'm saying is there even anyone out there? That's the first question.
Can anyone come?
I still do it today.
Thinking that.
But I think it's good though, because as soon as I get on stage, I'm like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Maybe if you knew before, if you thought it before, and you saw yourself, it probably more.
Mm-hmm. You need a few butterflies.
Yeah. I think that's not. I think if you ever said like, no, never, easy.
I don't believe it's, anyone. That, no. Yeah, I can't.
But it's nearly like
as if care. I think.
Yeah, it's nearly like as if you're not. You don't take it very seriously. Then if you're just so easily able to, no, don't feel anything. Just I'm going in and I'm going home.
A bit numb then.
Yeah.
I feel like you would feel that.
Oh, definitely.
They would. What's your favourite song to perform? Do you have the same one or a different?
Oh, mine. Oh, God.
You like Too Lost.
Too Lost in You.
Oh,
I love singing Too Lost in You. Yeah, yeah.
Love.
And round always goes.
Oh, yeah.
Same on Singster.
Yeah. I like Overload because of like there's like always like this dancing section where we kind of vibe out together.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy Push the Button.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Iconic.
There's so many.
Yeah.
There really is.
And then just as a song in general, what would be your favourite? Like not to perform, just one that like you're like, that is my fave.
Oh.
I think it might be a new one that we've got.
Because
we're not, I think we can say like we're not just doing Jungle on
it's
the tour.
Yeah, it's got other
there's another new one we're going to be doing on
the tour. I don't know. I love the song, but until we perform it, that's what I can decide whether or not I like it.
You never know, do you, until you've done it. It's like you never know what a song's going to sound like until you actually hear it yourself on the radio.
Yeah.
Did we get that mix right?
I hope so.
Yeah. And I think it's also watching the crowd to see how their reaction is.
Does that have a big impact on your songs, do you think?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Seeing how a crowd will take it.
Yeah.
Because
then you kind of know the next time around, is it something we want to put into the set or is it, you know?
Something to think about,
But then I guess each crowd's different. So
yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of artists always say that Ireland's the best crowd, but are they actually, do you think? Or people just say, they always say,
We've never had a bad show.
Love it.
Perfect. At least we can hold ourselves.
I feel like we can sing loud. Maybe not great sometimes.
Maybe we're just rowdy, but in the best way.
I love it.
I went to a Drake concert in Germany and I could hear Drake clearly. Like there was no one.
It was just quiet.
No one goes,
They were like, I'll just sway. And I was like, what's going on?
I need to show you a picture. Now, Keisha, you might remember this more.
Oh, okay, go on. Oh, Lord. What era? What year?
Oh, we're going back.
Oh, Lord. Okay, let's
do you remember see. Them?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was.
Yeah, I
was
do.
Like do you remember
it
them?
Was. I remember the hairstyle more than anything else. Yeah, I do. Yep.
Fun fact for you, they're selling them on eBay.
Really?
Yeah, they're currently on eBay today.
Okay, I might have to get that just for memorabilia.
Yeah. I remember being in school and I was just being like,
whiffing it out. It'd be like an iPod.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
There's obviously a lot of pressure to look and act a certain way for everyone, but especially when someone's in the spotlight. Like, what does that feel like to begin with? And do you think now it's easier because you're in the industry so long, or is it still hard with press and social media and things like that?
I think that we consciously stay away from particular subjects because I think regardless of what you say, every, you know, people sometimes are waiting for you to have an opinion on something just so that they can be like, aha, you know, and drag you through. So I feel like definitely there are things that, you know, we definitely don't touch on. But I think for the most part, the older we get, the less we actually care about, you know,
what people say.
We definitely care about what people say for sure. But for me personally, I've like pretty much like years ago, I've told everyone in my life that I don't really want to know about anything good or bad. So I don't want to know about any articles.
Love that.
I don't read comments. Obviously, we know it's Instagram. You open it up, you'll see a flood of comments and stuff. I actually post and then I go.
Do you?
I don't, So I actually, even when we post on our group page and we're all tagged, that for me can be a little bit stressful sometimes because I'm seeing everything. Whereas my actual comments are monitored. So even on Twitter, I don't get any sort of feedback. So I'll tweet and maybe like the four people that I've seen for about the last 10 years.
That's the only one. But that's a good thing to do though. It can knock your confidence.
And also I think that the thing that we can do is just do our very best. Just always do your very best. And if you're happy with it, that is all that matters. And I think even if someone said you were amazing 50 times, it's always the one that you're going to pay attention to.
It's the one bad comment you will focus in on.
Oh, all the time. There is pretty much going to be like so many lovely messages, and then it's the one, it sticks.
It must be something in our brains.
I don't know what it is.
It
doesn't do anything to me.
I know.
Really?
Do you know what?
I just think I'm going to make myself look and sound the best I can on that day. And I'm going to give it my all. That's the best I've got.
And that's all you
and
do.
If it's not good enough, that's sort of like your problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's, honestly, that's how I think about it.
I've done my bit.
And, you know, and standards for women in particular are just impossible.
I know.
I can't reach
you
it.
Can't win.
If you want a supermodel, there's so many amazing supermodels out there. Follow them, support them. I'm not a supermodel.
No, but I do.
So it's, you know.
But to be honest, we do get so many beautiful comments from people.
And everyone is just so lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do people put negative comments? Because they probably don't feel very good about themselves.
It's the reality. Also, it just doesn't make sense anyway. You know, if you've got such a horrible thing to say, why would you even want to
put it out? No one normal says it online.
You're just wasting time.
Yeah, you discuss it with your friends. Yeah.
Put it in your group chat.
In your group chat.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
It would take more effort for them to write it than anything.
So your new single, Jungle, what was the inspiration behind that? Wow. I love it, by the way.
So I think the last song we put out was kind of more mid-tempo. It was a vocal harmony moment. And so we wanted to do a bop and something up-tempo.
Love.
And then in terms of like the lyrical content, we wanted to do something that was like, you know, everyone's got their 9 to 5, the grind to like, you know, make ends meet. Everyone needs to let their hair
down. Let the animal out.
And it's about letting that
jungle.
Is the lyric process of stuff like that hard? Like,
no, if you're in the room with the right people,
it
can come.
It just flows.
Yeah.
How exciting would that be, imagine?
And you are doing 2 shows in Ireland?
Yes.
So you have Belfast on the 19th of April and 3 Arena Dublin on the 20th of April.
Yes.
And you're going to be live in Ireland.
So excited.
Have you spent a lot of time in Ireland over the last few years?
We've been here quite
a bit. Shows here.
Is there a pop-up food or drink that you've had since you were here, like one that springs to mind?
There's that club that we do that we've went a couple of times to.
Do you remember one of your cousins takes us home? House? In Leeson Street. That was my cousin Kieran Donahue, who sorted out our after party one night there.
Oh, unreal.
It was good.
Couldn't get my parents to go home.
Have you had a spice bag yet?
Who's that?
Oh my
girl.
What is that?
Spice bag. Did you also know that the word spice bag is in the dictionary now? They added it into the dictionary.
What is it?
It's a twist on like Chinese cuisine, but like apparently we only have them in Ireland. So it's your chips, your chicken, all your veg, your everything in a bag.
In England, they call it salt and pepper chicken from the
Chinese.
Here it's called salt and chili, but it's a mix of salt and chili chicken and chips in a bag.
So we need a spice.
What's the sauce? Right.
Curry. Whatever you want. Curry. Or you can have like sweet and sour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spice bag.
I think I might try that.
Spice bag.
And where are we going to get this?
Ooh, depends where about in Dublin you are. I think Zion Thai is good.
Yeah.
That's in town.
Zion Thai is in town.
Okay.
Everyone gets them when they come over and try.
Then
it's definitely not impossible to get.
Get it in the Deliveroo or
Dinosaur.
Before you leave, you just have to get a spice bag.
We have a section basically on our podcast where we ask for advice. Or we don't ask for advice. Someone asks for advice.
Yeah.
So it's called Phone a Friend. So usually we get people in that are from our Instagram page, but yous are going to be the friend today.
Okay.
So, hey girls, love the pod. I need some advice. I developed a massive crush on a guy in my office. We work on different teams, but we always have the crack when we see each other. The problem, he has a girlfriend. He's never done anything inappropriate, but there's definitely chemistry, and sometimes I feel like he flirts back. I know it's wrong to even entertain the idea, but I can't help hoping something might happen. Am I a bad person for feeling this way? Should I back off completely, or is it harmless as long as I don't act on it?
I'd like to say it's harmless. I mean, why am I worried
about the advice you're going to give?
Well, I think
it's hard. I think that
men and women need to be around each other and have, because I was watching this thing the other day and it was about chemistry. And sometimes you can confuse the chemistry that you have with someone with romance.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, because sometimes it is an attractive thing if someone's like, you know, if you like the kind of guy that comes in and he knows what he wants, or, you know, you like the kind of girl who comes in and cares about everyone in the room, you're like, oh, this is quite attractive.
Yeah.
You know, we would be foolish to think that you getting a relationship with someone and the same attributes that you love about them isn't in any other human being. However, that being said, where I'm landing it is that there is a huge difference between acting on something. There's nothing wrong with chemistry or finding someone attractive. Like, this person's good looking.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a line, and obviously if you cross it,
it out a bit.
So I would say, I think we'd all say, is he trustworthy?
So he hasn't acted on it. You wait it out and see what he decides.
Friendship's okay to have.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with girls and guys having friendship.
Yeah, and it could just literally be chemistry, is what I was saying.
Yeah,
but also you can't help who you are attracted to. So she's doing absolutely nothing wrong.
True,
and kind of neither is he. He'll just have to figure out
his situation.
It might not even be a situation
because he probably is just a friendly flirt.
I'm a friendly flirt.
I don't like you.
No,
but I don't mind making you feel good for a hot second.
That's
a good advice.
That was great advice.
Yeah. That was fine. Thank you so much for your time.
Girls,
it's been amazing.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So obviously this week we had the help of the Sugar Babes for Phone a Friend. Unfortunately for Secrets and Stalls, you just have us.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
God love you.
Sorry. Imagine the person that wrote in the Phone a Friend dilemma.
Just getting the Sugar Babes.
Getting the Sugar Babes advice.
Ah.
Pretty cute.
You'd want to take that advice then.
So Seeks and Stalls, we do every week. We want to help you with any advice you have, kind of the conversations you have with girls in the bathroom of a nightclub where you just spill the beans.
Yeah.
Random girls in the nightclub.
I'm a fan of doing it, haven't I? It's my favourite hobby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or a sleepover with your best friends. We tell you things you need to hear, share secrets and advice, and give you the real talk. So it's called Secrets from the Stalls, Bathroom Stalls. So this is this week's. This is quite long, so keep your ears peeled. I've been with my boyfriend for a couple of years. We live together and everything between us is great, but he's not the problem. It's his mom.
Oh, no.
She has a way of involving herself into every part of our lives, often making comments that feel unnecessary or like subtle digs. For example, we both work on site every day, no work from home. She'd ask, do you want anything in the shop? And if he says yes, she'll respond, could I, in brackets me, not have gotten it on my way home, even though she was the one who asked if he needed anything in the first place. We don't live with her, so she'd go out of her way to drop it into us. It's like she always finds a way to turn things into a criticism. Another time I was sick and she actually suggested that I should move out temporarily so I wouldn't get him sick, which honestly blew my mind. Then there's a constant phone call, sometimes 15 times a day, often about nothing urgent, but always at times when she knows we're together, like when he gets home from work or when we're about to have dinner. It feels like she's always making sure she's present in some way. I try bringing it up, but he either brushes it off or says she's just joking, even when it's obvious that there's more to it. It's made me feel like I'm the problem for even mentioning it, but at the same time, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, is this just an extreme case of mommy's boy? Am I overreacting or is there something deeper going on here? Would love to hear your thoughts and any suggestions, basically, what should I do?
The sound of that even terrifies me.
It gives me shivers.
Like that, how can you be like that? I think like a mommy's boy or a mommy's boy or whatever, I think the boys are aware of it.
Yeah.
They know when they're a mommy's boy. Whereas in this case, I don't know if he's actually aware of like what's going on. If he's just like, she's only joking or like.
Yeah, a mommy's boy is like when they notice it, but when then there's like the moms who are like, everyone's too good or my son's too good for her or like too good for everyone. Like, that's crazy.
Something like this is just going to blow up into a big...
But it's also like, how can you blow it up? Because what can you actually start the argument over? Your mom calls you? Like, that's...
Your mom's obsessed with you, you freak.
Like, that's...
Tell her to grow up.
Yeah, like...
Tell your mom to fuck off.
Like, what do you say? Because she's not actually doing anything bad that you could actually start, like, have a conversation over. You could say, why does your mom call you all the time? What's that going to do? He's going to be like, I don't know. You're not going to say to the mom, why do you call him all the time? So what's... I don't know what the... end goal is or end
say your mom's obsessed with you. You need to, well, I think she just needs to explain how it's making her feel, that like she feels like it's only when they're about to sit down or have dinner, or she feels like she's making sly dig. That's just how she feels. She's allowed to have those feelings, like,
yeah.
So I think if she just lets him know that's the way it's making her feel,
yeah,
that might not be true, it might not be the case at all, it might be like, do you know what I mean,
harmless.
But you're entitled to have feelings. And so, like, if that is the way it's going.
I just don't know what... If okay, she says her feelings. The boyfriend's like, oh my God, sorry you feel that way. What's he going to do? Sorry, mom, stop calling me all the time. I just don't know how this is... I think this might be one of them things where, like, you either have to leave it or live with it.
Oh, like, leave it or love it? Like,
leave it or, like, or just be... As in, leave him or live with this.
Oh my God.
Because I don't see... The mom's not going to be like, okay, son, won't call you that many times.
I feel like the mom wants to have an argument with that girl.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a test.
Maybe it's a test. And they're telling her to move out because she's sick. Like,
don't want you to get my son sick. How about you fuck off for a few days? I would be... What? I'd get him sick on purpose.
I just don't know how there's a way of getting this to not be...
Tell him how you feel.
Yeah.
Bring it up so he's aware of it.
Mention your times when you have evidence of this happening.
Yeah. But maybe, like Shara says, don't be expecting any miracles because...
Yeah, you only get one mother.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not great. Like this one.
And what's she going to do? Like, I can't imagine her being like, oh, I'll back off, sorry.
Yeah. It's going to probably make things worse, if anything. But he could say it in a way like, can you stop calling my phone? I'm really busy all the time. 15 times a day, there's no need to call anyone that many times. What do you even say after that many times? Hey,
what have you still got to talk
about? Yeah, what have you got to say?
Like,
I don't think you're overreacting. I think your feelings are so valid. Mm. I'd feel the same, but I just don't know if anything could change there. But I think saying it to him and seeing how he reacts is the first step. Mm. Yeah. Because it's like, you can't tell someone not to be them, not to be their mother like that.
Don't like your man, basically.
Yeah.
What?
You can't. Yeah. But let us know an update. We are also going to be introducing a new segment soon. If you have any bedroom dilemmas, so like anything at all.
What did I say last week comes into my head when I think of that?
It's a humidifier or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. A humidifier. I don't know why.
In the bedroom.
Yeah. It's meant to be something sexy and saucy and I'm thinking where to put the humidifier in your room. Jesus.
You can send them in to us, or if there's anyone in your life that you think might be showing a red flag, you let us know what it is and we'll decide. So it can be anything from like something really obvious to something niche. We can be like, yeah, that's a red flag.
Mm.
Sometimes it is the little niche things that are the worst. They'll be coming soon. We're also going to end with Peak and Bleak of the Week. We should have got the Sugar Babes to do this with us.
Oh, yeah. I really hope they go get a spice bag.
Same.
And try it.
And do a video.
Like, I really think they'd enjoy it.
They would. Mm. And they had never even heard of it.
No, they were like, what's that? Salt and pepper? What are you on about? Like, no.
No, but that's what they, yeah, that's the English.
Why do they call it that though? There's no pepper on it.
There's no pepper in it. I don't understand. I remember going once and I was like, what? Like, there's no such thing as salt and chili.
Nah.
I haven't had spice back in so long.
I know, I'm actually craving one.
Yeah, same. After talking about it. So we're going to pick one high and one low. So Peak being our high and Bleak being our low of the week. Mm-hmm. And it's only right. So we get the negative out of the way first.
Okay.
So Bleak of the week.
My Bleak is that I'm nearly convinced I'm getting tonsillitis. Yay!
Ew, has it gotten worse?
No, it's just still there. I can feel it every time I open my mouth. Like, yeah, not good.
Like just swollen?
Yeah, it's like two tennis balls in my neck. So that's brilliant.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
That's bleak.
And I had someone text me on Instagram yesterday and they were like, oh, I got mine out at like 29 or something. Like, maybe go and do that. You couldn't pay me.
Oh, it's actually really dangerous as the older you get as well.
Yeah, my brother Jack was in hospital. Yeah. Remember he ended up in hospital? He got
Quincy,
it's called, yeah. I had to get his tonsils out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he got out after that.
Yeah.
I only know that name because I met a girl in the hospital when I was in there once and she had Quincy.
Oh really?
And I remember looking it up, she was talking about it, I was like, what's that? Looked it up. Her tonsils are literally in the Google images, don't look it up. Tonsils are like touching. They're like,
oh yeah, they told Jack like his airways
are closed.
We're closed. And we need to do something here. So maybe it's just something that runs in the family. So that's my little
Throat
bleak
issues. Yeah, my bleak. I don't know. I don't really have one. I think
if you don't have one, then don't make one up because you're allowed to have a good week.
Oh, actually, I got my period. That's pretty bleak.
That is pretty bleak.
And the day before, I was on a rampage. Just so annoyed at everything, and then I was like, oh, that makes sense. Sorry, Dano, for being crazy.
Loving it, click.
No, I wasn't even crazy, Dano. I was just quite annoyed at like traffic and all. I was like, I can't.
Just anything and everything.
Everything, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Peak, I think.
It has to be this.
Yeah, same one.
We can have the same one this week. On. Is it allowed?
Yeah.
Has to be the sugar babe.
So fun. This set as well. Wow.
Yeah, set's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to belt them out on the way home now.
Same. Mm-hmm. And when you meet someone, you actually end up liking them more, like the artist more, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I'm one that's so nice.
I can just still picture a little me in my primary school uniform.
Yeah.
Dancing to Freak Like Me. There's no need for those lyrics to be coming out of your mouth at 10 years old.
No. But you don't realise.
No. It's like we all used to sing Britney Spears. I'm a slave for you.
I didn't even think how bad that was.
Like some of the lyrics we were all singing.
My milkshake brings all the buzz. I thought that was about milkshakes.
Oh, literally about, her milkshakes must be lovely. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Guys, that's us for this week.
That's us.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to the Sugar Babes. Their concert in Dublin is 23. Mic's on fine. And Belfast the 19th. Are there still tickets available?
Yeah.
As of today. You can go back and listen to our bonus episode from Monday, Hold My Drink Extra Juice, and our full video Thursday at 12.
The full video.
You have to watch the full video. It's the whole new set. For today.
Yeah.
I wish this was a permanent new set.
I know. If you've never been to a live show, actually, this gives you a little glimpse into it.
Yeah.
These are our special live show couches.
I'm trying to think who we had last. Garen Noon.
Yeah, he sat on this chair. Yep.
We had Niamh O'Connor.
Yeah.
Sat in this chair.
A plethora.
Scott. Yeah. Everyone's been in this chair. But yeah, make sure to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast, and we will talk to you next week.
Love you. Bye.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.